Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's reading of the Yuma Sun, Yuma's daily newspaper. This is your Sun Sounds of Arizona volunteer broadcaster, Mary Wiegand. Some of the articles I'll be reading today include a recap of headlines from the weekend editions of the Yuma Sun, 2025, a year of progress for Yuma County, and man injured in chemical mixer accident at Gowan Milling. Before we do the news, let's do the weather. For Tuesday, the 6th of January, it's going to be mostly cloudy, a high of 72, a low of 50, and winds out of the south at 5 miles per hour. For Wednesday, the 7th of January, partly cloudy, a high of 71, a low of 49, and winds out of the southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. And then for Thursday, the 8th of January, sunny, a high of 72, a low of 47, and winds out of the north at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Now for the news. First, a recap of headlines from the weekend editions of the Yuma Sun. From the Friday, January 2nd edition, South County's top stories of 2025, a roundup of the most outstanding news of the year in San Luis and Somerton. Expansion of Cesar Chavez Boulevard to begin in 2026. Gadsden Elementary School District enters bilingual education with dual language academy. San Luis voters reject proposal to sell detention center. Gadsden Elementary School District surprised with National Excellence Award and $50,000 incentive. Congressman Raul Grijalva passes away. Housing America resumes housing development in Somerton. Construction begins on new Harvest Prep campus in East San Luis. San Luis voters reject elimination of county salaries. San Luis High School student Yamaria Robles Santa Cruz receives Dorrance scholarship worth over $100,000. Tadio de la Hoya named president of Gadsden Elementary School District Governing Board. San Luis secures $26 million for wastewater treatment plant expansion. Mark Concha replaces Luis Marquez on Gadsden Elementary School District Governing Board. Gethsemane Church resumes food ministry after agreement with the City of San Luis. Somerton to push land annexations ahead of 2030 census. San Luis Vice Mayor Tadio de la Hoya faces felony charge. New Regional Center for Border Health, Birth Center, will make Born in San Luis a reality. Local student Dariana Castillo receives National La Excelencia Latina Award. Yuma Union High School maintains consecutive decline in dropout rate. The 2024-25 rate, 1.13%. And finally, Somerton approves incentives to attract police officers. Now news from Saturday, January 3rd. Onvita welcomes first baby of 2026. Born at 3:11 a.m. on January 1st, Raul Villa became the first baby born at Onvita Health Yuma Medical Center in 2026. Weighing in at 6 pounds 2 ounces and measuring 19.5 inches, Raul is very special as he shares a January 1st birth date with his great-grandmother. Also from Saturday, Relay for Life of Yuma County has been named the 2025 West Region Event of the Year by the American Cancer Society, recognizing the event's fundraising success, community involvement, and volunteer leadership. In 2025, the local Relay for Life event raised more than $204,800, exceeding its $125,000 fundraising goal by nearly $80,000. Organizers said the total marked one of the strongest fundraising years for the event in the past decade. Event leaders attributed the increase to strong team participation and expanded sponsorship efforts. And finally, from Saturday, Rural Metro Fire offers new car seat safety stickers. Families in Yuma County can now pick up new car seat safety stickers designed to help caregivers and first responders quickly access critical information in an emergency. Rural Metro Fire announced it has received EPIC, E-P-I-C, Emergency Pediatric Information Card, car seat safety stickers from the Arizona Department of Health Services as part of an ongoing effort to improve child passenger safety. The stickers are intended to be placed directly on a child's car seat and can include important medical and emergency contact information, giving first responders immediate access to details that could be crucial during an emergency. EPIC car seat safety stickers are available free of charge at all Rural Metro Fire locations. Residents can stop by any station and request the stickers. And this concludes a recap of headlines from the weekend editions of the Yuma Sun. Now, news from the Monday, January 5th edition of the Yuma Sun. Our first article from Monday, 2025, a year of progress for Yuma County. This article by James Gilbert, Sun staff writer. Yuma County closed out 2025 with major infrastructure investments, long-term planning, and a renewed focus on customer service, County Administrator Ian McGaughey said in a year-end interview. It was a very good year, McGaughey said, borrowing a line from the old Frank Sinatra song. We saw Yuma County continuing to grow, and the county responded with investment, long-term strategic thinking, and some notable accomplishments. Among the year's milestones was the completion of the Yuma County Administration Services Building, a long-planned project aimed at improving efficiency and public access to county services. The county also pushed forward toward the finish line on its Middle Mile Broadband Project, a backbone fiber network designed to improve connectivity across rural areas. That effort was complemented by the launch of a $6 million wireless broadband and agricultural technology network, a project McGaughey said is intended to support smart agriculture, the county's largest industry. Governor Katie Hobbs traveled to Yuma County for a dedication marking the project's activation. Water infrastructure was another major focus in 2025. In Tacna, the county completed a $14.7 million water system replacement project addressing aging infrastructure. That's the kind of improvement we love, McGaughey said. It directly improves the quality of life for residents. Transportation and historic preservation also featured prominently. The county completed a major repaving project on U.S. Highway 95 from County 22nd Street to County 17th Street, a critical corridor for agricultural traffic. McGaughey said the county will continue pushing for state funding to extend the work north to County 32nd Street. Inside Yuma's historic courthouse, a long-awaited remodel was finished this year, balancing preservation of the building's character with modern workspaces. Justice Court, Superior Court, and the County Attorney's Office now operate in the renovated facility. They did a really nice job preserving the history while creating a more efficient environment, McGaughey said. Looking ahead, McGaughey said the Yuma County Board of Supervisors has set clear priorities for 2026. The board has emphasized customer service, efficiency, and effectiveness, he said. That goes hand in hand with long-term planning and sustainability. Several large projects are expected to reach completion in the coming year. The county's health department remodel, adding about 20,000 square feet and modernizing roughly 80% of the existing building, is scheduled to be finished in 2026. Renovations to the Gadsden's Sheriff's Office are expected to wrap up in February, while work on the County Recorder's Office, housed in a nearly 100-year-old building, is projected to be completed by the end of the year. Another anticipated milestone is the South County Transfer Site, slated to open around May of 2026, which county officials say will improve access to waste disposal services and help combat illegal dumping. Parks also saw improvements in 2025, including the addition of ADA-accessible playground equipment at Foothills Park and West Wetlands Park. On the technology front, McGaughey said residents can expect a redesigned county website in 2026, a project aimed at making services easier to navigate and more convenient for the public. That really ties into the theme going forward, he said, finding ways to improve customer service. Not every project moved quickly. The Orange Grove Ranch Mesa del Sol sewer project, a $24 million effort to bring sewer service to more than 300 residents, continued through design in 2025. Construction is expected to begin in January of 2027. Financially, McGaughey said the county remains on solid footing. While sales tax collections dipped slightly in October, he said economists believe the change may be tied to broader federal issues, and the county is monitoring the trend closely. We're cautiously optimistic, he said. The board has traditionally been conservative in its budgeting, and that strong fiscal structure puts us in a good position to serve residents, businesses, and visitors, even if there's an economic downturn. As budget season begins, with department requests due at the end of January, McGaughey said the county's approach remains unchanged. It's the most important thing we do as a government, he said. The budget reflects the board's priorities, and they've done an excellent job allocating resources wisely. After a year marked by construction cranes, broadband lines, and long-range planning, McGaughey said he expects that steady approach to continue. I'm optimistic for another good year, he said. And this article, 2025, a year of progress for Yuma County. Just a reminder, you're listening to the Yuma Sun with Mary Wiegand on Sun Sounds of Arizona. Our next article, man injured in chemical mixer accident at Gowan Milling. This article by James Gilbert, Sun staff writer. A man was injured Sunday morning after becoming trapped in a chemical mixer at Gowan Milling, leading to a large emergency response from firefighters and medical teams. The Rural Metro Fire Department responded to the scene, located at 12300 East County 8th Street, at about 8:23 a.m., after receiving a report of an injured person at the facility. Firefighters later learned the man was trapped inside a chemical mixer, which required a specialized response. Because the facility handles regulated materials, multiple agencies were called to help. The response included City of Yuma Fire Department, Hazardous Materials and Technical Rescue Teams, Emergency Medical Services, Law Enforcement, and Onvita Health Personnel. Emergency crews set up incident command, secured the area, and followed safety procedures to protect workers and first responders. Power to the affected area was shut off, air monitoring was conducted, and steps were taken to prevent possible chemical exposure. Technical rescue teams worked to free the man while he received medical care at the scene. He was later taken to a hospital for further treatment. His condition was not released. Rural Metro reported that all agencies worked together under a unified command and coordinated closely with facility staff. The incident was contained within the facility and no danger to the public was reported. And this article, Man Injured in Chemical Mixer Accident at Gowan Milling. In other news, Senior Leaders Tour Border Barrier Project. This article by Robert Didot, U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. Senior U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and Joint Task Force Southern Border Leaders recently toured progress on a border barrier installation at the Barry M. Goldwater Range 1 project site near Yuma. The tour included U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Commander Lieutenant General William Butch Graham, Joint Task Force Southern Border Deputy Commander Marine Corps Brigadier General Jeremy Winters, and other senior leaders, who were hosted by South Pacific Border Task Force Commander Army Lieutenant Colonel Jeffrey Beeman. It was fantastic to host the entire senior leadership of USACE and showcase the great work our task force is delivering for the enterprise and the nation, stated Greg Hegg, Director of Programs and Deputy Engineer of the South Pacific Border Task Force. The tour allowed us to show just one small aspect of the support we are providing the country and to USACE through installation and construction of a permanent border barrier. The BMGR-1 project protects a vital military installation, strengthens border security, and supports the broader southern border mission. We are responsible for many different aspects of the southern border mission, Hegg said. One of the objectives of this project will allow U.S. Customs and Border Protection agents to save time and manpower by focusing on more high-risk or unprotected areas of the border. The project consists of four sections totaling about 15 miles in the Barry M. Goldwater Range, replacing legacy mesh fencing, much of which has holes cut into it or is climbable, with a permanent border barrier. The total cost of this emergency military construction is about $200 million. Lieutenant General Graham created the South Pacific Border Task Force as a single organization to oversee all USACE equities along the southern border, Hegg said. USACE is leading the construction, including the planning and design of a permanent border barrier in the Barry M. Goldwater Range. The construction contract was awarded August 15th. Construction began on October 15th. We are exceptionally proud of our role, work, and team along the southern border and how it leads to and accomplishes the overall objectives of Joint Task Force Southern Border, while also meeting the intent of the administration's executive order, Hegg said. And this article, Senior Leaders Tour Border Barrier Project. Our next article, City Council to discuss multimodal transportation plan this week. Council expected to call for 2026 city primary and general elections. This article by Josh Bootson, Sun Staff Writer. Yuma City Council kicks off the new year with a busy agenda, complete with opportunities to adopt the 2025 Multimodal Transportation Master Plan, to call for 2026 elections, and to provide a verdict on a land use designation change that has split interested parties for months. Tuesday's work session begins with an organizational overview on the First Things First program from Community Engagement Coordinator Zahid Pantilas, focusing on community engagement priorities and early childhood education issues. Next, Steve Wilson, Assistant Director of Engineering, will provide an update on the city's Integrated Multimodal Transportation Master Plan. At Wednesday's council meeting, the council has the opportunity to adopt the 2025 Integrated Multimodal Transportation Master Plan by resolution. Other resolutions on Wednesday's agenda include pre-annexation development agreements for the properties located at 2108 West 26th Street and 4286 West Verde Street, as well as a resolution to call the city's 2026 primary and general elections. This year, the mayor of Yuma, three city council members, and the municipal court justice seats are open for election. Council has the opportunity to introduce an ordinance on Wednesday to rezone approximately 2.78 acres located at 1980 West Colorado Street from the Manufactured Housing Park and HP District to the High Density Residential R3 District. The only ordinance on Wednesday's agenda for adoption would authorize the annexation of properties located west of the southwest corner of 40th Street and Avenue 4.5E, the Cha-Cha LLC annexation. There are 8 items on Wednesday's motion consent agenda. Approve a liquor license for Birdie Swing Bays at 2680 South 4th Avenue. Approve an off-track pari-mutuel wagering license for the Showcase Sports Bar, located at 2703 South 4th Avenue. Approve 4 bid awards for a sewer line replacement, a water line replacement, a water distribution line, and a 1-year cleanup, boarding, and securing building services. Authorize a cooperative purchase agreement for access control system hardware, services, and installation. Approve a state legislative appropriation mission support agreement with Onvita Health to support the development of a rural regional medical branch of the University of Arizona College of Medicine, Phoenix. Council is also scheduled to hold a public hearing to discuss the request to amend the City of Yuma General Plan to change the land use designation for the property located at 2080 West 27th Street from low density residential to medium density residential. Since this is the first council meeting of the new year, the council must appoint members to various positions and committees. These include Deputy Mayor, Board and Commission Review Committee, Greater Yuma Economic Development Corporation Executive Board, Greater Economic Development Corporation Board of Directors, Greater Yuma Port Authority, Western Arizona Council of Governments Executive Board, Western Arizona Council of Governments Council on Aging, Western Arizona Council of Governments Yuma County Advisory Board, Yuma Crossing National Heritage Area, Yuma Metropolitan Planning Organization Executive Board, 3 terms on appointments, Yuma Fire Public Safety Board, Yuma Public Safety Police Board. Tuesday's work session and Wednesday's council session begin at 5:30 p.m. in the City Hall Council Chambers, 1 City Plaza. To view and or download the complete agenda and staff reports, go to yuma-az.legistar.com/calendar.aspx. Meetings can be viewed through the following platforms: live on Spectrum Cable Channel 73, or via Teams on a computer or mobile device at yumaaz.gov/public-meetings. Click on Calendar, then select the city meeting, and click Join. In this article, City Council to discuss multimodal transportation plan this week. Our final article, Desert Lily event returns with 250-year U.S. anniversary quilt. This article by Matilda Carpenter, Sun Staff writer. Nearly 40 years ago, a small group of quilters came together to form what is now the Desert Lily Quilters. T. Today, the nonprofit organization has grown to about 120 members, including local residents and winter visitors, all united by a shared passion for quilting. The group will once again host its annual Desert Lily Quilt Show, which will take place January 9th and 10th at the Yuma Civic Center. The show will run from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. both days. Admission is $8 and covers both days of the event. About 300 quilts created by members will be on display, including a special collaborative quilt titled This Land is Our Land, created in honor of the 250th anniversary of the founding of the United States. The quilt features more than 60 completed 12-inch blocks combined into a large piece representing the nation's history and achievements. In addition to the quilt displays, the show will feature an old-fashioned bed turning, a social event highlighting antique quilts and their histories, vendors, sewing and quilting demonstrations, and a country store offering handmade items will also be part of the event. And this article, Desert Lily Event Returns with 250-Year U.S. Anniversary Quilt. We are at the conclusion of today's Yuma Sun program. This is your Sun Sounds of Arizona volunteer broadcaster, Mary Wiegand. Thank you for tuning in today for the Yuma Sun. If you missed any part of this program or any of our other outstanding programs, you can go to our website, sunsounds.org, and listen to any of them on demand under broadcast info and audio. You can take Sun Sounds with you. You can get our stream and our on-demand programs on the new Sun Sounds of Arizona app for Apple and Android devices. You can hear Sun Sounds on your Echo Dot or smart home devices. Please stay tuned for more programming. The Wall Street Journal is next on Sun Sounds of Arizona. Have a wonderful day.